The following program is presented by Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
Please hang up and try again.
Grab a slice of the epic pie cast. Don't stick it in your mouth. Put it in your ear holes now. Ladies and gentlemen, Nelson Lugo and Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the beautiful and spacious Geekeasy in a comic shop in beautiful Orlando, Florida. This is the Epic Podcast, episode 38. I am your host, Nelson Lugo.
And I am your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Hooray!
Yay!
And we're entertaining literal thousands of people here at the Geekeasy. Oh man, you guys can't even fake it, can you? Yeah, there you go. That's it. It's radio. They don't know the difference, people. Come on.
That was very generous of you, and we appreciate that so much.
We're in Florida.
We are in Florida.
At the same time.
At the same time.
Yeah.
Although, like every time we've been in Florida, we did not travel together.
No.
A few things give me anxiety, like imagining traveling by air with you.
Wait, what?
I just have a feeling you would be very difficult to travel with.
No, I am the easiest travel person to travel with because
really?
I fall asleep. I'm horrible on road trips because you get me in a road trip and I'll talk to you like for 15 minutes and then for the next 8 hours, I'm unconscious.
Oh, I'm like that too. I can actually relate.
I know. I fall asleep on airplanes, trains, buses, you name it. I fall asleep. I just shut down. I don't know why. Yeah.
It's kind of like you're a baby again and you're being rocked to sleep. Was that a thing? Did they have to drive you around to get you to stop throwing
no.
fits when you were teething?
No, not at all. I grew up in the Bronx, in the Boogie Down Bronx, and so I like, you know, my lullaby are car horns and police sirens and, you know, wailing children and gunshots in the middle of the night. So
But you used to live in Orlando as well.
I did. I lived in Orlando. A huge chunk of my formative years were spent in Orlando. I consider myself more of a Floridian at heart, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But you still defaulted to, I grew up in the Boogie Down Bronx.
Well, I mean, I was there till I was 13. So, I mean, it was a good chunk of my sort of developing consciousness years.
Look, those are throwaway years. Nothing really happens until you're 14. And you get a learner's permit.
Well, that's why I say that I'm a Floridian at heart, because a lot of my major firsts happen in Florida, like my first car, my first girlfriend, my first job. Like a lot of those sort of like adulting activities happened here in the Boogie Down South.
Don't say that.
Yeah, there we go.
You can say praise for the
South,
but don't call it.
Florida's the only non-Southern Southern state. You know what I mean? It's essentially an extension of the sort of original 13 colonies.
So how does it work then? When you come back to Orlando,
yeah.
Is it like Independence Day?
Wait, what?
Where you're the crashed ship at Roswell, and then the mothership arrives, and all of your lights and gizmos start working again. Does it happen? Do you have like certain powers that come back? Can you summon lizards with mind control?
I wish. No, I wish I had an idea you were going to do this bit, because I would have come up with something clever. No, no, and the only thing I can do I'm better at picking up Denny's waitresses here than I am in New York.
You always make me regret asking you any questions. You know that? And I can't believe that you suggested that was a bit that I was preparing there.
I just suspect that everything that comes out of your mouth is your way of some sort of prepared trolling.
No. That is not.
Okay.
This is.
Oh, shit.
Hey, Nelson.
Yes, Schaefer.
So many people have asked over the years about our intro theme that was created by Afterbirth Monkey.
Right.
That plays at the beginning. So many people have asked, like, there's all these kind of crazy noises in it, like you're imitating AM radio or morning drive time radio type of thing. People have been like, what is the story behind those layered sounds?
Did people ask that?
They do. Let's pretend they do.
Okay.
Did you know that there are actually going to share this with all of you who showed up today. There are actually subliminal messages hidden in the Epic Podcast opening theme.
I did not know that.
Okay. Well, since you came out today to this live taping of the Epic Podcast, we would like to share with you the hidden messages that are buried in the Epic Podcast opening theme.
I have no idea.
See, that's a bit.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Here's the only joy that I can get right now is because I know you and your curmudgeonly ways. You stayed up entirely too late putting that together and was miserable the entire time you put it together. And now you're upset at yourself because it didn't get as big a laugh as you thought it was going to get.
Correct. Nelson Lugo, pick again.
We should play a quiz show where I answer questions about you because I know you better than yourself.
Oh, that's actually not a bad idea.
Oh, fucks.
I like it when I write bits.
Holy shit,
and
really?
I don't share them with you. Lugo never knows anything that I'm going to do when we record this
I
show.
I never know a damn thing.
He shows
ever.
Up at Studio 6C. I have things prepared, and I just hope that they work. And 3 times out of 20, they do. And I'm counting on those numbers being in my favor right now.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, here's the thing. If you ever listen to our show, there's generally a format. At the beginning of the show, we catch up. And we talk about the things that we've been watching or reading or playing or consuming in some way. And we kind of banter about that. Oh, my God, there's a new Batman thing. That's awesome. And we do that, and we consider that programming.
Yes.
And then there's a musical break, and then we have a guest who we interview. And I feel like sometimes our catch-up takes a little too long because we get a little too much into...
The minutia of nerddom.
Into the minutia, and we'll spend 40 minutes talking about a show that was canceled 10 years ago that we just now both started watching.
Right, like Deadwood.
Like Deadwood.
You cunting hooplehead.
Lugo just discovered Deadwood, and now he can't quit calling me that. So I figured we could truncate that a little bit into some sort of speed round.
Okay.
So I have created a game.
Oh, fuck.
That I'm going to play with you right now.
Wait, you're playing as well?
Sort of, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Okay, we're going to play a game called Right and Wrong.
Oh.
Or rather, Right or Wrong.
Right or Wrong.
Yes.
Okay.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to name a series of pop culture properties, things that are happening right now.
Okay.
And you tell me, one word, whether this particular property is doing it right or doing it wrong.
Okay.
And then I will respond to that by telling you if your answer was right or wrong.
Oh, shit.
In other words, you're going to say if something is right or wrong. And
right.
I'm going to say if it's right or wrong.
No, I get it.
But I'm not talking about if the property is doing
it. No, you're talking about me.
I'm just talking about
your
answer.
I get it. Yeah. Yeah. This is like some Inception shit. No, I get it. It's layered.
I'll throw a third option in there, which is I don't know. You can say that.
Oh, I can. So my options are... It's doing it right, it's doing it wrong, or I don't know.
Too many words. Right, wrong, I don't know.
Okay, all right, let's do it.
Okay.
What do you got? Number
one. This is called Right or Wrong.
Jesus Christ.
Do them as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Don't think about them.
Right, okay.
DC Comics New 52.
Right.
Wrong. Gotham.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
The Flash.
Right.
I don't know. Arrow.
Right.
I don't know. Supergirl.
I don't know.
Right. Jessica Jones.
I don't know.
Right. There's a bunch of these.
Okay, yeah, let's whip through. Let's whip through them.
Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 3.
I have no idea.
Right. The Force Awakens promotional materials.
Oh, I have no fucking clue.
Wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Fallout 4.
I have no idea.
Right. Welcome to Night Vale.
Oh, yeah, it's doing it right.
I don't know. Doctor Who.
Right. Can I add a fourth, like sort of?
You cannot, because this is my game.
I'm going to say right.
Wrong.
Jesus Christ. How many more do you have?
Lots.
Oh, shit.
The Walking Dead.
No.
Wrong. Sex Criminals.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Saga.
Right.
Right. Cat Videos.
Wrong.
Wrong. Dog Videos.
Wrong.
Wrong. Magic Videos.
Wrong.
Right. Mama Ling Ling's Thanksgiving Sandwich at Palms.
Right.
Right.
That shit's delicious, man.
It is.
Fuck.
Game of Thrones.
I don't know.
I still don't know. Sorry, I missed the boat, and now I'm scared.
There are only so many fucking hours in the day. Sorry, I just lost my shit. Sorry.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. That miniature cream pie you ate in the shower today.
Right.
Right. That is right.
Yeah. I ate a pie in a shower, and it was I invented shower pie. It's the best thing in the world ever. Patent pending.
The Geekeasy at a comic shop in Orlando, Florida.
Right.
Right.
You pandering motherfucker.
Right. Shape of the Dark Lord's new EP, Sex Rhymes.
Yeah, right. You did it right.
Right.
God,
thank
damn it.
You. That's how far I have to go to get Lugo to compliment my work, is I have to drag a 40-year-old laptop down to Orlando and get him to say it into a microphone in front of an audience. Morphine.
Oh, morphine's so good, right?
Right. We'll get back to that in a second.
Oh,
and last but not least, the Epic Podcast.
Wrong.
Right. Thank you.
You guys are so forgiving and so generous. Jesus Christ.
So we got down. We came to Orlando. I got here yesterday. Lugo got here 2 days ago. You came down here Thanksgiving night.
I did, yeah.
And last night we co-hosted Big Bang Boom Cabaret's Burlesque After Dark Best of 2015.
Yeah, incredible show.
Which was kind of a questionable booking for us because I did not perform in that show in 2015.
Right, and I am nowhere near the best of anything down here.
You did a great job last night.
Well, so did you, sir. You killed it.
Thank you. You want a hug?
Not right now.
Good. Right. This morning, we had a little bit of a scare, which...
This morning was crazy town.
Which impacted our start time this afternoon. Lugo, do you want to tell our audience what happened this morning?
Yeah, this morning, I checked myself into the ER at 7 a.m. Because my tummy was all hurty. No, shower pie was after.
It was a cocktail of morphine and shower pie is how he treated his post-ER experience.
Basically, what happened is I was awoken at 6:30 a.m. this morning with these abdominal pains that just kind of had me sort of like in a fetal position, sweating. And I took an Uber to the emergency room because that's what you do in Orlando. You take an Uber to the emergency room. Yeah. And then because I have a history of medical conditions called cancer. And no, it's all good now. It's all good. No, I'm all right now, yeah. But the thing is, whenever there's pain in the abdominal area, like, I don't fuck around. I go right to the... I see a doctor immediately because I don't... Exactly, yeah. And so I'm laying there in a bed, and they're looking at my chart and go, we've never seen you here before. And I'm like, that's because I don't live here. Can I have pain meds now? And they're like, no, wait. Give us your history. Well, all right. Well, I have cancer, and I had this, and I'm like, great. Wonderful. We're going to do some tests. Great. When can I have pain meds, please? And this kind of went on for like 2 hours until finally they put an IV in me and then gave me the sweet, sweet release of candy morphine. And seriously. It was, I don't know who invented morphine, but they should give him like a star in the Walk of Fame or something. So that's where I was this morning, and I was high as a kite. And
you on morphine is amazing.
First of all, before we go any further, I want to give a shout out to hottie nurse Megan. If you're listening to this, you are a very pretty lady, and I want to buy you a drink.
So Lugo comes back from the ER, and he's all doped up, and he's like this contemporary Lewis Carroll. right? And he's narrating all of these wonderful visions. Oh my God, this magical cream pie spoke to me and said I should eat it in the shower, and that's where the gateway to utopia exists. And in there, I had a vision of pretty Nurse Megan. And
Nurse Megan.
That's when he started telling us all about that. And it's a lot of fun a couple hours later. When at the time, I just want some questions answered.
Oh, sure.
But you are alive.
I am now off the morphine high, so you can ask me anything you want.
You have gone to the emergency room more times than any person I've known in my life. And it's not just for cancer. It's also because he's incredibly allergic to animals.
Well, I'm incredibly allergic to everything on the planet. And my lungs are made out of tissue paper. And I basically, you can call essentially my personal constitution, my stamina, my endurance for all of you D&D nerds, you could probably sum it up in a one-word phrase as questionable at best.
That's a D&D thing?
I don't know.
Right.
My hit points are pretty low.
Yeah. So I'm glad that everything was okay.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Me too. So the prognosis is that I don't have cancer. The cancer is still in full remission. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I still get to wear the survivor label, and I'm all good. I'm all good. Although I do have gallstones, so that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
This is also especially ironic considering that Nelson just started watching Deadwood.
Yeah.
And that's the moment of that series that I remember the most is when Al Swearengen had stones.
The best episode ever is about gallstones. Oh, so good. You cunting hoopleheads.
And there it is again. Anyway, Nelson, I'm glad that you are out of the ER.
Me too.
And if you play your cards right, I won't send you back there today.
Don't fucking threaten me, Schaefer. I will break you. Seriously.
I don't feel like that was a threat.
I will... Hopped up on morphine, I can take you.
Okay. So, what else you want to talk about before? We got more. You have all kinds of whimsical tales inside of you.
No, dude, I just told a story about where I was in the hospital a few hours ago and I'm now doing a podcast.
Yeah, but I think you need to come back from that. I don't think you can close with that before a musical break.
Oh, I see.
It's a little dark.
Okay.
Did you want to talk about Star Wars?
No, I don't want to talk about Star Wars.
I know you don't. So let's not.
I emphatically do not want to do that. I don't know. Do you want to take questions from the audience?
Well, that can't really be a thing, right? There can't be anybody who's interested in...
Does anyone have a question?
See?
You have just questions about life in general and your purpose and what you're supposed to be doing, you know. Fair enough. Yeah,
we're going to come back to you in just a second.
Yeah.
This gentleman over here at the
bar. Yeah, you have a question. Fans. What's your question? How do you pick up on women who work on Denny's? Well, I mean, I think the most important thing to remember about women who work at Denny's is that they're women, and you basically talk to them like you would talk to, like, any other human being, so, you know.
Too much specific, like you said, like, it's harder when I'm going.
Oh, I'm sorry, I should have been more specific. There are no Denny's in New York.
Oh.
Yeah, no, now you know, yeah. It's easier for me to pick up women who work at Denny's in Florida because there are no Denny's in New York. Okay. Are you setting me up? Is that... Oh. So you're... Well, thanks for nothing then, asshole.
Remember that part where I said maybe we should take some questions? I already regret that. Here in a moment, in a bit, we are going to have a guest that we're going to interview.
I'm excited. I'm so excited.
Well, I'm a little nervous about it.
Why? Why are you nervous?
We have been doing this show for about 3 years, and our strong suit is...
Sure.
We don't have a strong suit on this show,
no.
But I feel we're especially bad at interviews.
No, we're not.
You don't think so?
Well, we're not good, but we're not bad.
Right. No, we're bad. I think that before... we have kind of a VIP guest that we're going to interview that I feel like we really need to be really solid at interviewing. I feel like we should practice first.
Oh, shit. Okay. Is this another bit that you wrote?
It's not.
Okay.
It's something I just came up with.
Okay.
We're going to need a volunteer from the audience, and I think this lady sitting at the bar would serve
yeah,
well
yeah.
as
get up
volunteer.
Here. Get up here. Seriously.
Would you mind being a test...
Yeah. You want to be our surrogate boss?
Would you mind being a test subject for us? We're gonna practice our interview
awesome.
Skills.
Awesome. Please take a seat
please,
up
come
here.
Come on up here.
Yes. Please give her a big round of applause, ladies and gentlemen. Get up here. We need to practice our interviewing skills, apparently, because after 3 years, Schaefer now has questions about whether or not we do it correctly.
Oh, yes, please. Have a
yeah,
seat.
Yeah.
Make yourself at
yeah,
home.
Yeah, yeah. Snuggle up to the mic, as they say in the industry.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest on the program this month is...
Melanie.
Is Melanie.
Woohoo, Melanie! So,
yeah.
Melanie...
Yeah,
I think the question that we're
sexy.
All asking here, we're all thinking, and I think I'm just going to bring voice to it. And this is a genuine, sincere inquiry on my part. Who the fuck are you?
See, we're already off to a bad start.
What?
Who would you like for me to be?
I want you to be you.
Okay. I am Melanie, believe it or not. I'm a 42-year-old mother of three.
What?
And a bartender.
Wow. Excellent.
You do noble work.
True story. And but being a bartender is only my, it's my peaceful little middle-aged woman job. I used to be a crime scene cleanup specialist.
Wait.
Whoa.
What?
Hold the fucking phone.
Jackpot. So
true
you
story.
You would right, go in on, after investigators would go
yes.
at crime scenes. I'm assuming violent crime scenes.
Yes.
And
yes.
you would clean up after they had contained
yes.
the scene and collected all their evidence.
True story. Yes.
And they would be like, "There is curdled blood. Go deal with it."
I would be going in as the CSIs were leaving and the MEs, the medical examiners, and I immediately upon the release of the scene, I would take over. Yes. True story.
Did you do work alone? Were you part of a crew?
I had a team to an extent. It just depended on the extent of the job, how many people I could bring in.
Was this your company or did you work for a company that did this?
No. I worked for a larger company, but I was, so to speak, the department head.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I have so many questions.
Oh,
where do
go,
I even
baby.
Begin?
Go, baby.
Where do I even begin?
Okay,
so let's start. Let's start with the one question. Let's get the one thing out of the way.
Okay.
What would you say is the weirdest, the oddest, the craziest thing that you ever walked into?
Okay. Well, gosh, that'll take some narrowing down.
Yeah, yeah. This
is officially the craziest things you ever wanted to ask your crime scene cleanup specialist,
yeah.
but were afraid to.
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's the one.
Yeah, that's exactly what
yeah.
it is.
Let's see. The weirdest. Well, it wasn't necessarily something I walked into so much as something that was presented to me.
Like a head on a silver platter, literally, because it was a severed head on a silver platter.
Well, no, fortunately, I went in as the ME was going out. So they technically were the meat wagon. I was merely
right.
I had to make things go away. The weirdest, that's, okay. Okay, I got this. The weirdest, I had a client, so to speak, that had opted out, if you know what opted out means, which
no.
I'm sure you do.
I'm assuming that's code for suicide.
That's, yeah. That's
oh,
it.
My. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Had opted out. And when I went in immediately upon the ME removing the body, and when I went in, there were surveillance cameras, if you will, all over his property. He was very wealthy, and he had a jacuzzi bathtub that was filled, I kid you not, hip deep, because you know how jacuzzi bathtubs
mm-hmm.
are.
Yeah.
Full of antipsychotic prescriptions that he had bought on the internet. Full of these, yeah, I mean, just full.
With pill bottles. Or pill bottles?
Bottles.
Okay.
Hip deep in a jacuzzi tub.
Oh,
and
geez.
They were writing this off as a suicide. And my first thought was, okay, well, this person was really, really paranoid. And he had all these antipsychotics and all these cameras Maybe he had a reason to be paranoid.
Oh, like maybe somebody was after him.
Maybe.
Yeah, I guess just because you're crazy doesn't mean people are after you.
That was the weirdest scene. But here's the thing. This guy, this poor fella, he was the size of Shaquille O'Neal.
Wow.
A big guy, a big tall guy.
Big guy. That's a whole lot of mess to clean up. And that to me, honestly, was the creepiest thing I have ever, the weirdest thing, because not only was the weapon that was quote-unquote used in the issue removed, but there was also other loaded weapons underneath pillows and in the immediate area that were with him that really just kind of blew my mind.
Good gravy.
That was the weirdest.
All right, so I have a follow-up question.
Okay.
How do I put this delicately?
You're not going
there's
to.
There's no delicacy in this issue. I'm sorry.
Let us hypothetically speaking.
Okay.
If a gentleman of ill repute were to say, I don't know, have a couple of accidents.
Okay.
And needed cleanup.
To make that go away.
And an alibi. How much do you charge for that?
Okay. Okay.
Okay, I got this. I know
oh,
where
really?
You're going, and I got this.
Okay. Oh, okay, all right.
It's not so much of a, how do I pay to make this go away? It's more of an issue of, how do I make this go away and make it look like an accident? Which is not something I will go into live, but it's you don't want to pay for that.
There's some real fucked up Cosa Nostra shit up in here right now.
You do not want to ask somebody how to pay to make something go away. You want to make it look like an accident. So there's that.
So. Well, that's how a person would ask that question.
But our friend here?
Yeah, but give
him a break. He's been on morphine all morning.
He's still on morphine.
Okay.
Morphine is so good.
Give our friend a break here.
So before you got into this line of work, did you already know that you had a particularly strong constitution?
Because I was a mom, yes.
Oh, so you were a mother before you were...
Yes, and when you're a mom, you are barfed on, pooped on...
Sure.
You name it, it happens. You do have a strong constitution, but that particular line of work is not for everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I can't imagine.
I'm already feeling a little lightheaded. I'm a very squeamish person.
You have to tell me when I go too far.
No.
Talking,
no, you haven't gone far enough yet.
Oh, I could tell you more.
I'm a squeamish person, but I get kind of a thrill of pushing myself to the limits of how much I can take.
I'll be honest with you. Being in that line of work, a lot of people are kind of horrified. They're like, how can you do this? But truthfully, I sort of always took a sort of an Egyptian standpoint to it.
Yeah.
Like, this person has passed. We need to continue to put the rest of them at peace.
Oh,
that's a very mature outlook on the whole situation.
And it's, I mean, and it's kind of the same thing with funeral home workers. It's okay. This person has passed. The worst has happened. Their problems are over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have to, what you are doing now is caring for the living.
Right.
Once you get past the horribleness of the situation, once you get past the smell and the, oh my gosh, what is that in my hand? And what did I just step on? It's,
All right. I have a question.
Wait. That's the part of it. The part that you simplify down to once you get past, and the part that you describe after that is just horrifically nightmarish in my mind.
Oh.
And so you may manage to make that you have a very Zen-like approach to it,
which is
like you just
absolutely.
Get past that,
you can think of
the service that you're providing to
True
the
story.
Survivors
yes.
Of the loved ones. But that part, I still can't wrap my brain
around. Here's my question. What's the most amount of pieces of person you've ever had to pick up and put into a bag?
That is a good question. That is legitimately a good question.
Okay.
I can
do this.
It's a good question. do you need a bag to breathe into?
I want this. I want to feel this. I want to feel all of this.
Okay. Well, first of all, before I answer this question, I'm going to teach you a trick of the crime scene industry.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Is everybody ready for this? Because you will use this for the rest of your lives.
Yeah. No. Please do.
All right. You ready? Okay. It is physically impossible to gag and smile at the same time. Oh. So whenever you feel like your gag reflex is really kicking in, smile. Get big teeth. Big teeth. And you can't hear this on radio, but what I'm saying is
no.
I'm smiling like the Joker right now.
Yeah,
big,
yeah.
Teeth, big, big teeth,
big teeth. Okay.
I'm going to keep doing it because...
It is a direct, it's directly oppositional muscular forces, if you will. You know what I'm trying to say.
So, that's a really good fun fact. Thank you.
Okay, so now we're going to go into this story.
Yeah.
So I'm going to need you to smile.
Okay.
How many pieces of person have you picked up before in one go?
Okay. This is a fun story. Okay, the Emmy came in before we did. We were just cleanup. So.
Right.
Limbs, fingers, toes, noses, whatever, eyeballs is the thing. That's all going to be picked up, correct? Okay.
Right.
Well, the thing that I did have to do was a HBC. Do you know what that means?
No.
HBC, hit by car.
Ooh.
Hit by car.
That's a pretty smile there, Schaefer.
Thank you.
Good smile. I'm gonna.
Keep grinning
like the Joker.
No, yeah, keep going.
And it's weird. I mean, the human body is an amazing thing. And it can utterly survive terrible things, or it can just absolutely fold at the drop of a hat. It's a weird thing. But this poor person, whoever hit this windshield, the way windshields are made these days, they do not shatter. They do shatter, but they don't come in. You know what I mean? They shatter, but they stay together because there's a coating on them.
Right.
Somehow, this poor fella, and it was not his fault at all whatsoever that he got hit by this car, but are you going to be okay? Mm-hmm. Smile.
I got it. I got this.
His molars wound up in the front seat. And
his molars... ended up in the front seat.
By themselves?
Yes, without him. Without him.
Oh, my
and
God.
He wound up on the ground in front of the car. And not only that, but there was... And okay, now preface this with the guy lived. He lived. Okay, he did survive. And
this guy survived this?
He survived, yes.
Holy
so preface this with that. He survived. But... hair is a funny thing. It comes out really easily, and apparently so do teeth. So this fella was transported, and I get the call, come take care of this car, and there's teeth in the front seat, even though the windshield was merely fractured. So now I've got these teeth in my hand, and I have a dilemma. Does he want them back?
I would want them back. I mean, if that was me,
yes.
I want
so, Teeth were a weird thing. Teeth was the biggest thing that I picked up. And I mean, it was a molar. This was not a broken off. This was molars. And you couldn't even determine how they fit through the windshield because it shattered, but it stayed together because it was filmed and just, oh, but there's teeth in the front seat.
Oh, that's just science.
And, yeah. So the thing is, here's the thing, which to answer your question, which is a really horrible answer, but smile you. Here's the really horrible answer to your question is,
yeah.
When I've had to pull things out, there haven't really been pieces. It's kind of been puddles. Like, oh, what's that in the cup holder? Gray matter. Got it. Yeah.
Gray matter. Yeah. So,
you're my favorite.
So I haven't been fortunate enough to pull pieces. I've had to scoop stuff.
Oh, scoop. Yeah.
Yeah. Stuff.
Melanie, I want to thank you so, so fucking much. A round of applause for Melanie. Thank you so much.
Thank you guys.
Thank
you
so much. This was amazing.
We got to rehearse interviewing, and I learned a new coping mechanism.
That wasn't even that was a far cry from the worst thing I ever saw. But you guys are troopers. Bless your hearts.
Wait. You got a better one?
Oh yeah.
I tell you what. All right, look.
I'm so sorry.
No. We're gonna go to break. We're gonna go to break, and then you're gonna tell us during the break. So and then
okay.
Yeah. All right. Do it. Do the thing.
Once again, we would like to thank Melanie for being our guest on the Epic Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Hold on.
You can do this.
Puddles, man.
You can do this. I believe in you.
Smile.
Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
I'm a Titan Slayer. I'm a push them all, fighting for our freedom. And life outside of these walls, I'm gonna take it back for humanity. I gotta vanquish them all, who's coming with me? I'm a titan slayer, I'm a vanquish them all, fighting for our freedom. And life outside of these walls, I'm gonna take it back for humanity. I'm gonna vanquish them all, who's coming with me? Who's coming with me? Vanquish them all, gotta vanquish them all, gotta vanquish them all, gotta vanquish them all. I cried a lot of tears as I thought of my mom, a lot of time to think as we sailed on that boat, because we're all weak, we do nothing but cry. I said on that ship that I would vanquish them all, I wanted to wipe them out, every single one, and I would take my revenge. I would grow strong, rather die on my feet than live on my knees. And even if they were big, they'll never bully me. Never let up, never give in. Always stand and fight, never let them win. Never stop fighting till the last drop. We represent the 104 and we'll never stop. Even if I should die, never bury me. Set my body ablaze so I can burn free. Set my body ablaze so I can burn free. And life outside of these walls, I'm gonna take it back for humanity. I'm gonna vanquish them all, who's coming with me? I'm a titan slayer, I'm a vanquish them all, fighting for our freedom. And life outside of these walls, I'm gonna take it back for humanity. I'm gonna vanquish them all, who's coming with me? Who's coming with me? Who's coming with me?
Gotta vanquish them all, gotta vanquish them all, gotta vanquish them all, gotta vanquish them all.
For 3 long years, we were trained how to fight. Not everyone would make it, but I would do it or die. Never stop trying, my objective's in sight. Every single moment, every breath of our lives. For all of our families, all of our friends, for all our loved ones, and every single freedom. And for my mother too, I'll always love you. I will never forget what those titans did to you. I refuse to be trapped and locked in by these walls. This is not our fate, my people stand strong. I'm not dreaming of places that we can run and hide. I'm daydreaming of titans to slay and stay alive. I say to all of my people that we can fight back. Stick up for one another, the Rika's got your back. We refuse to go quietly in the dead of night. We fight our way till the sun comes up and watch it shine. Slayers, we must vanquish them all. We're fighting for our freedom. And life outside of these walls, we're gonna take it back for humanity. We're gonna vanquish them all. Everyone's with me. We're all titan slayers. We must vanquish them all. Fighting for our freedom. And life outside of these walls, we're gonna take it back for humanity. We're gonna vanquish them all. Everyone's with me. I said everyone's with me.
Gotta vanquish them all, 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 gotta vanquish them all.
Ladies and gentlemen, our guest on the program this month is the executive producer of the Nerdy Show Podcast Network.
Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse.
Thanks, Nelson.
So, in a way, we are about to interview our boss.
Bum, bum, bum.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program, Cap Blackard.
Woo! Thanks, guys. It's lovely to be here.
Oh, is this the first time you have been a guest on a Nerdy Show program?
Kinda.
Yeah?
Yeah. Kind of, I mean, like, as far as an official interview capacity thing, yes. I mean, have I been on other shows? Yeah, I've been in Flame On and other shows like that, but not like in a this Barbara Walters kind of situation.
Sure. I mean, I would assume that you have had your hand in many, many of the podcasts on the network, and you have appeared on many of them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
This is your first time being interviewed.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said Barbara Walters, because it is our intention to make you cry.
Also, I want to know what kind of tree you are.
What kind of tree am I?
Just let that sink in. Don't worry.
All right. I'll
get back to
it right now. Cool.
We'll circle back.
Now, Cap, you are the executive producer of the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. And this is our first time to actually talk to you in person.
Yeah.
True. Yeah.
About the Nerdy Show Network at all.
You seem nervous.
I'm so nervous.
Why are you so nervous?
Why are you nervous?
I don't know. I feel like I know what kind of a job we've been doing for the past few years.
A shitty one.
I am aware. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know more than you, because Lugo comes over and records for 2 hours a month, and then I spend an additional 4 hours editing this. So I really know what kind of a job we're doing. It's a little bit intimidating to be sitting with.
So let me just start with this question. On a scale from 1 to 10, how much is the Epic Podcast your most favorite podcast of all the podcasts on nerdyshow.com? Go.
Oh, it's a solid 10, Nelson. I mean,
You guys
do.
Fuck you, Flame On! Fuck you!
You guys do a great show. Don't be so insecure.
Oh, well, thank you.
I mean, you've told me in the past you just wanted an excuse to get together and hang out as the BFFs that you are.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what you do every month publicly. I mean, it's not what I would do necessarily, but then again, it is kind of what I do accidentally. Like my whole life is work at this point, so a lot of my hanging out happens on the air. It's very convenient, but you guys do it willingly, and I do it accidentally.
Oh,
so.
Oh, all right.
I mean, this is—it's almost because our schedules have gotten so busy and complicated in the past couple of years. I mean, it is kind of the night that we record is kind of the most quality time we get together.
Yeah, and the only time I get to see you is the 2 hours I'm over here going blah 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 Batman.
Like, we can't really hang out unless microphones are involved.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. Holy shit. So here's my follow-up question. On a scale from like 0 to -10, how much do you hate Flame On Podcast? Go.
They're the worst, Nelson.
They're suck it,
wonderful. They just celebrated 100 episodes.
There's too much camaraderie. There's too much like kumbaya shit happening at Nerdy Show. I want to start like some kind of like East Coast West Coast battle with another podcast on the network.
Dude, we tried that, man. Like when as you've recently discovered, I don't care for Doctor Who.
Right.
And
you're my boss, so I'm just going to smile and nod.
but
inside,
okay.
I hate you.
Because I'm there's many, many different opinions on Doctor Who in the Nerdy Show Network.
But sure.
We did an episode where we were asked by a fan to do an episode on Doctor Who, and it had gotten built up over the years to the point that everybody in the network kind of wanted a piece of it. and we ended up turning it into a like pro Doctor Who versus anti Doctor Who kind of thing. And it was filmed by a guy who was kind of courting us for reality show stuff.
Oh, right, right.
But we're too kumbaya. We agreed to disagree on so many things.
Oh, you had to do it civilly, didn't you? You had to fight even civilly.
We're too, like, I mean, do we have, like, passionate discussions? Do we have massive disagreements? Yes. But at the end of the day, nerds are just too friendly. And we're just too friendly to each other.
Well, nerds are friendly when they're facing each other. I don't know if you've been on a thing called the internet.
Okay, yes.
Nerds can get pretty mean.
If it's in the anonymous dark corridors and passages of the internet where anybody's anybody and they can say anything. Yeah, sure. It's a dangerous, deadly place and nerds are the worst. But, you know, but in person, yeah, it's great.
All right. Well, fuck.
So let's take it back to the beginning. How long has the Nerdy Show Network been a thing? How did it start? Because I assume you've been there since its beginning.
Kind of, yes.
Okay.
We're coming up on 7 years.
Wow.
7 years.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Okay.
Yeah, I know. It's ridiculous. What are we doing? But it's the reason I say kind of is that it sort of accidentally almost started with Aaron Holland, who the owner and founder of a comic shop.
Uh-huh.
He was guest hosting on a local radio program called Talk Nerdy to Me. And he was doing really well on it for a while. He enjoyed it for a while. Then he got sick of it. So he asked myself and Triforce Mike, who also worked at the comic shop, if we wanted to go on instead of him for a show. And we were like, yeah, sure. We've never been on the radio before. Why not? So we go on the show, and Hex, who was the founder of Nerdapalooza, I didn't know him at all, but he came on to talk about Nerdapalooza, and the three of us started basically jiving and connecting in this completely accidental scenario of recording a show so much, we came back the next week and we kept doing it.
So that first show, you were a guest on somebody else's radio program.
More or less, yeah.
And then you were like, screw this, we killed it. We're going to make our own.
There was never so much intent. It was like, yeah, I could do that again, sure.
Oh, it was still like, it was done so kindly and almost passively.
Yeah, it was a very casual thing, yeah. I mean, then it got to the point where we realized, okay, the radio thing was kind of restrictive for us because we weren't in, it was a college radio station and none of us went to that college. So things got kind of weird there.
Yeah.
And then we launched it as a podcast and so
and,
on.
And that was the first show was just the Nerdy Show.
Yeah. The first show was just Nerdy Show. Just here it is. Like just, we had a following based on the radio program, which was streamed online, mm-hmm. and that carried over. And then 8 episodes in, we accidentally created Dungeons and Doritos.
Okay. I didn't know Dungeons and Doritos went back that far.
Yeah.
I thought that was one of just like in the past couple of years.
Yeah, no, it's old as dirt. It's just like the rest of the network.
That includes you.
Shut up.
How many shows are there on the network now?
You know, I haven't counted lately.
that is a testament to how big this thing has grown.
We've got like 12 shows, kind of, and some of them are in various states of hiatusing and so on, but most of them are actually poised to come back next year, so we'll be firing on all cylinders.
Are they all? Does everybody do a monthly show?
No.
Or are there people that are more ambitious than us?
Well, I mean,
I think everyone's more ambitious than us.
Well, fair enough.
Everything has a different rhythm, a different pacing. There's a few monthly shows. There's a few weekly shows. Like there's Nerdy Show and Friday Night Fan Fiction are the only shows that are weekly.
Okay.
And then most other shows are monthly or every other week, or depending on how bad the hiatus is. Like Dungeons and Doritos, for all the post production we do, because that's our role playing show. Mm-hmm. So we have original score written for it and everything. So that's an every other month show, which is currently in a horrible hiatus because our editor's having a baby. So,
all right. Well, here's a question. Of all the people that you have to interact with in terms of getting content out onto the site, on a scale of 1 to 10, which one do you like better, Nelson or Schaefer? Go.
They're all great, Nelson.
Oh, shut up.
Oh, yeah.
Shut your fucking pie hole.
Answered like
I just told my boss to shut his fucking pie hole. That's weird.
Well, your epic pie cast, that was so appropriate.
Oh,
sure. Yeah, oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
Just like you eating a pie in the shower today. I mean,
shower pie.
That's one of the handful of times you've actually discussed pie on the show.
I know. I feel like it was almost important that he ate that pie today and that I brought it up so that the title of our show makes any sense at all. Because we put pie right in the name, and we don't ever talk about pie.
Okay.
Ever.
All right.
I feel that's kind of on you. That's your thing. You're the guy who's really, really into pie.
Yeah.
And we named our podcast after it, and you're like, meh.
Yeah, well, I mean, sorry. I'm not a two-dimensional character. I like other things.
Really? Because I have 400 hours of you talking about Batman on TV.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, I mean, Batman and pie.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's more than one dimension.
Maybe.
Now, how often do people come to you and pitch you a show? Hey, Cap, you got the Nerdy Show. I have a great idea for a podcast.
It doesn't come up too much. It happens internally every now and then. My answer is always, well, hey, if you can self-produce it, then we'll talk.
You have people who are producers and on-air personalities on other shows saying, I want to do my own thing. I can't work with these guys anymore. I kind of want to do my own solo podcast. Is that a thing I can do without telling the other people that I work with? Does that happen a lot?
Fuck, holy shit. Yeah, you know, what's happening? What the fuck is happening?
If there was a situation where you were like, well, I would like to do sort of a one-man show kind of show thing, and I'd be like, all right, well,
so let me get this straight.
Person on the
you don't have any kind of adjudication process.
I see.
You'll let any asshole with a microphone do whatever the fuck they want.
I say no all the time.
Really?
But there has to be a pilot, and then I'll say no.
Ah,
have you ever taken on a show, and then after a few episodes been like, we can't keep airing this? And if the answer is yes, you don't have to name
any names. I'm happy to say no.
Oh.
Now, I mean, I know that a lot of people are like, what the hell are you thinking with this derpy show program?
I actually have a follow-up question. What the fuck is up with derpy show?
You mean where is it?
Yeah, and why is it?
And why is it? Okay. why is it is because when I listened to Derpy Show, I was like, man, this has all the charm of me and the gang back when we started just shooting the shit, talking about whatever. But instead, their recording format was, we'll record for 3 hours and then cut out just the good parts. And with these like non sequiturs of someone whispering, Derpy Show. So I was like, okay, that's fun. And eventually people caught on that like this was random and it was chaotic, but it was actually a good time.
Yeah.
But it was actually a hard sell. And now Derpy Show's on kind of indefinite hiatus because Rob, who runs Derpy Show, actually is running or co-running with me mainstream Nerdy Show now.
Okay.
So, and Derpy Show's hosts are kind of scattered to the four winds at the moment, but they'll probably come back together for specials and stuff.
All right.
Long answer, sorry.
No. I needed to know. Then thank you for sharing. So out of the 7 years you've been doing this.
Yeah.
So many of your questions are number-based. On a scale of out of the seven,
I like to quantify things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mr. Science.
I guess what I want to know is, like, what would you count as being, like, the highlight of your time in your time with what's the one question that I should be asking you? Like, what's the one obvious thing that I'm not asking that I should? Like, what's the one, like, the one interview, the one moment, the
See,
one
you
highlight?
You want me to interview myself
Cap,
for you.
Hey, Cap, how can we interview you more accurately?
I have an empty balls jar that I could just crack over your fucking skull.
You nailed it with the cleanup interview. That was practice. That was genius. Like, that was so good.
With the practice?
Yeah, the practice interview was great.
Oh, thank you so much. You know what?
And now you're fumbling this completely.
I know. Melanie really
you know what,
did most
Cap,
of our
I
work
retract
for
my
us.
Question. Fuck you. How's that? I don't give a fuck anymore what your favorite moment was.
Look, I know it's only been a few minutes, but I'm really
it
into
was meeting
nostalgia.
You, Nelson.
I'd like to go back in time. You guys remember how awesome Melanie was?
Woo! Yeah.
Shout out to Melanie.
It's not... I mean, I've tried all kinds of live stuff with people coming up, and I've seen lots of other people do it where, you know, interviewing a random person, seeing what happens. I've never seen it go that well or that interesting. Like, you're a golden goose, Melanie. Like, thank you for showing up today.
That was also a surprise to us as well. But I just want to know, like, what your favorite moment was in the 7 years, if you have, like, one.
Well, I know you love quantifying. It's very hard to quantify a moment, but, I mean... It's a weird thing that we've done here because it's still, you know, very much a grassroots thing. It's still completely fan-supported. It's still all-consuming. It's a lot. And now all of us are, those of us who run the show are most of us in our early 30s at this point and late 20s. And so we're getting to the points where our real jobs are, like, consuming us and all that. It's getting harder to keep this going. But it's also... People love Nerdy Show, and so we want to keep doing it, and we want to just get bigger and better and quit our stupid jobs eventually.
Sure. Yeah.
But even still, I mean, we keep doing it because everything's been sustained by amazing moments. We've interviewed, like, so many incredible people, like interviewing Chris Carter, who created The X-Files.
You interviewed Chris Carter?
Yeah, actually, 2 years ago at this point. And you're just getting turned on to X-Files, so this must be
oh my
exciting.
God! You listen to our show?
Wait, you listen to our show?
Well, only the Lucas Siegel episodes. But
I was under the impression that you just ignored us.
Yeah, I just started watching the X-Files as research for a burlesque show that I'm hosting next month, and so I'm thinking about X-Files all the time. I came in here, my partner Bunny saw the poster on the wall that I want to believe, and we were both like, And I didn't know that you interviewed Chris Carter. That must have been.
Yeah, no, we have actually. There's a Nerdy Show wiki, and it has this whole page of every person that's been in a mainstream Nerdy Show interview. And I which I first was one of my late night can't sleep sort of let me compile this why not sort of things. But it's very impressive when you look at it. Like that's our legacy there. It's well, part of it anyway. It's really cool. So Chris Carter was awesome. We interviewed him when the X-Files comic was getting started at IDW that Joe Harris writes, which as soon as you're done with that second movie, you got to wash your mouth out with how good the comic book is.
Does the comic continuity start after that second movie? After
well, not immediately, but yes, like it's.
But if, I mean, it follows it. There may be like a time jump.
There's a bit of a time jump, but it's 100%. Well, we don't know. We won't know until the new X-Files starts whether or not the comic book is a tangent universe co-created by Chris Carter or whether or not it's part of the same universe. Okay. They've been very hush-hush about it. My hope of all hopes is that it is 100% canonical because Joe Harris has been killing it. Frankly, I think they should have invited him on to write one of the new episodes or something, but hey, I can't argue with that classic roster of X-Files writers they got pulled on for this upcoming season. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, they brought back a bunch of old talent.
Yes, they did. They really did. All the best. Lots of people who hadn't been working on the show in the later seasons are now back to like make this kind of ultimate X-Files mini season. Couldn't be more excited. But the comics rock, and Joe Harris rocks, and it's a great interview.
I am going to have to even... I'm into season 7 now, but I'm going to race through those pretty soon, and I'm going to have to pick up those comics the next time that I find myself in a comic shop.
Oh, wait.
Huh. Oh, wait.
I can Where the see fuck racks. Are we going to find
see
a
racks
comic
of
shop?
From here.
Now, I'm actually in the middle of my own rewatch of X-Files that I started just prior 2 years ago to that you can tell the pace that I do things at when it comes to like actually consuming entertainment. So I'm in the final season of X-Files now, but the trick was during this rewatch to also take on all the spinoffs that I didn't indulge in. I never watched the Lone Gunman series, and I never watched Millennium.
Well, the good news is neither did anybody else.
Well, that's the bad news, unfortunately, because while Lone Gunman is a stinking turd, Millennium is one of the greatest television series I've ever seen.
Where does Millennium fit in the? What are the characters that tie it to it? Is this going to be a spoiler for me?
No, it's not a spoiler. And you will come face to face with this soon because when Millennium got canceled, there was an episode that completely failed at wrapping things up that happened in the X-Files.
Okay.
You'll watch it and you'll be like, wait, Cap thinks this is good? What the hell's wrong with him?
I'm not going to think that.
But Millennium is about Frank Black, played by Lance Henriksen, who is a guy who has these sort of precognitive visions pertaining to a sense of evil in the world. On the one hand, it's because he's a criminal profiler. On the other hand, it's because he's borne witness to evil so intimately that he can actually sense it like a superpower in some ways. So he works with this group called the Millennium Group, who are ex-FBI people who sort of fix problems that other people can't and deal with lots of conspiratorial... prophecy-related, end-of-the-century kind of problems. Amazing, amazing series, start to finish. And it ties into X-Files only vaguely, but it does exist in the same world, and there was a crossover comic book that Joe Harris did, and it was also awesome.
Okay.
Wow.
I like that we brought you on to talk about Nerdy Show, but now I'm just like, tell me X-Files stuff.
I am so happy to talk about X-Files. I mean, like, if you talk... I'm also happy to talk about Nerdy Show, of course, but also, like, to me, it's like, it's work. I worry about getting into the minutiae, you know?
Right.
Like,
well, and that's the thing. It's running the show and running... Or the various shows is one thing, but it's the content that you discuss, which is where the passion and the fire comes from. Editing the episode, yeah, that's not really so much fun. But getting together with your friends and then and dissecting the second season of Gotham down to every cameo that's where the fun and the passion, the fuel comes from.
It's like, yes, it is. You know, you've been there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what Nerdist Show does that I think is really clever that I've never seen another sort of podcast network do is that they will do fan requested episodes. Now, how did that start?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure. I can't because we used to be we're funded on Patreon now.
Oh, okay.
We used to be funded on. A system that we cobbled together on the back end of our website where people just donated to us and then they could leave a comment in PayPal and we'd be like, all right, so anybody who, if we make $100 this month, whoever was responsible for pushing us over that line, you get a microsode. So we'll talk about whatever you want for 15 minutes. And if you keep earning these things, you can, and we haven't done them yet, you can stack them into longer episodes until eventually you can get your own show. Now, we've recently discontinued microsodes, at least temporarily, because There's too many of them. You guys were too generous. And
there's a backlog.
There's a hefty backlog, which we're in the process of nuking. But between putting them together, recording them, and then finding time to release them, it's kind of been a hefty project. And we feel terrible that it's taken so long. There's so many things that have been put in the background. But it's all going to happen. A lot of our progress this year and into the coming year has been all about us like kind of fulfilling older stuff and then moving on with newer projects. Mm. Like the Call of Cthulhu show we did recently this year. That show was also a fan-requested thing. It was to choose the next role-playing system that we would do a what was supposed to be a one-shot episode of. And little did we know, the average Call of Cthulhu session takes about, like, 6 hours.
Yes.
So it turned into a mini-series and took about a year and a half of post-production.
What?
God, that also made me just about as squeamish as Melanie's description of puddles. Because I know how many hours I put in. How many hours I put into just cutting out all of Lugo's and my ums. So a year's worth of post-production just...
But it was also, it's also one of my favorite things we've ever done.
Nice. Awesome.
Like, no regrets whatsoever. The response to it's been really good. And I can't wait for the next project we're going to do with the role-playing things. Because after Call of Cthulhu got recorded, we were like, okay... That's recorded. It'll be releasing probably in a couple months. Ha ha. No problem. Let's ask fans what we're doing next. And so we've also got the next project already picked out, and we're like not going to take anything on until it's all done. But our next show is this thing called Star Wreck. Mm-hmm. It's a little known system that's based on a series of Star Trek parody fan films. like you guys remember that movie that came out a while ago, Iron Sky, about Nazis on the moon?
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The guy who, like, I guess wrote and directed that since the early mid 90s was doing Star Trek parody fan films in whichever Western European country he's from. Uh-huh. Eastern European country. Yeah, that's the one. So they have this whole universe that's just this very goofy parody of Star Trek. Like, instead of phasers, they have twinklers. And instead of Vulcans, they're called Vulgars. And, like, it's these really, like, really goofy, kind of childish but fun version of Star Trek. And so we're doing a show in that universe. We haven't talked about it much because we're still putting it together, but we're pretty close to recording. And I guess what I can say is that our version is going to be the J.J. Abrams reboot of Star Wreck.
You hit all the right notes, and I know exactly what you're saying.
Well, then, listeners, please be on the lookout for the upcoming project.
You know, the Microsodes episode or scheme that you were doing sounds like it could have been so much fun for somebody with a disposable income and inclinations towards sadism. Because it would have been fun to make huge donations to the network and be like, I want an episode about season 2 of Thundercats. Or pick something like something just awful and make you discuss it.
We've had things like that happen. I sort of derailed the Microsodes thing. Like, it is fun. It's really fun to do. But sometimes, and some of the reasons that some things have gotten shelved until we can manage to do them is that they'll be so specific that I'll have to, like, put together a crew. I'll be like, okay, so who has played this random-ass video game that I haven't touched? Who has done it? Am I going to have to start playing this in order for us to fulfill this? So, I mean, as a result, I started playing Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden. Which is an amazing game, it turns out. Are you familiar with this game?
No.
I have never heard of this before. Oh, one
we
person.
We got some fans out there.
Four people.
We got a couple of fans. All right.
It's a sequel to Space Jam that's based on Chrono Trigger.
What? With Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley. Yeah, and Larry Bird and the evil Michael Jordan, who's a traitor to B-Ball. Uh-huh. It's a post-apocalyptic story. Where B-ball has been outlawed, and it's really funny, and it's
oh my god, I'm so bored already.
The graphics and playstyle. I don't care about sports. I don't care about basketball. I've never even seen all of Space Jam. I saw half of it in a health class once during a rainy day. But this game is fucking hilarious, and wow. it's very clever as far as game design goes. So we will be doing a show on that, and I'm excited for it. And there's actually a crowdfunded sequel coming out. And hopefully we'll be able to time it to that.
So if they picked that as the topic, you had to go out and hunt this thing down.
Yeah, I mean, it's an online game, but yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like, and
it's not like somebody was like, oh, I want you guys to discuss Montezuma's Revenge for the Atari 2600, and then you have to go out and try to track down that cartridge.
I mean, I would also probably emulate that one as well.
All right.
But, I mean, but yeah, no, we try to do it. There's been a couple things where we've turned something down and be like, well, honestly, we don't think we can do a good show based on that. We want to do a good show. Roll again. And that's always, no one's ever been upset. It's always worked.
Huh. All right.
So. But we like the challenge of being challenged.
Yeah.
So.
No, of course. Yeah.
I will not forget that.
Well, I'm done. What else you got?
I'm good.
All right. I think that's it.
Let me say this. This won't be a question. This will just be a thing. I want to thank you, Cap, for allowing us to continue to produce this nonsense and airing it and giving it an audience and being very patient with us when we take months off.
Dude, no. I totally understand. I mean, you know, you guys are performers. You're on a schedule. It's a lot of fun to have the show, and it's not a problem. I mean, hey, Megaran and Kay Murdoch. I mean, Kay Murdoch had a baby. Their whole Bits and Rhymes organization is getting founded. They've been off the air for a few months now, but they keep in touch. And as soon as they're ready to be back, they'll be back. All you right. know.
Is there anything that you would like our 12 listeners to know? Of any kind of scoop, any kind of like nerdy show specialness coming up that we can have exclusive news from?
Well, by the time this is out, it's likely that some of the stuff that I'm currently working on now will be out, fingers crossed, but the end of the year is always brutal. So it's hard to say. I'm looking forward to a very sleepy January and February where I can just get shit done. But we just interviewed Bob Dolman, the guy who wrote the script for Willow.
Wow.
Which has been a long time project of ours, because in our Star Wars show, State of the Empire, we've always had a segment called Willow Watch, trying to, you know, find the moment when, because it's not a matter of if, it is when, there will be some kind of Willow content coming out from Disney Lucasfilm.
You think so?
I know
so.
Oh,
you know so.
I mean,
oh.
You
in my heart, I know so.
Warwick Davis is still looking for work.
Warwick Davis talks about Willow 2 incessantly.
Really?
So, yes. So, and it's not just because he has plenty he's doing, obviously. He's much more successful in his old age than a lot of Star Wars alumni.
Sure.
So, he's not hurting for it, but I would love to see a Willow follow-up, be it a film or comic book or something. And based on conversations that I've had, no one has said, yes, anything's happening, but it's been a matter of like, man, why the hell not?
Yep.
So,
all right.
So we've talked to Bob Dolman. It was an incredible interview. All kinds of insights on like how George Lucas is to write with, what that's like. And as someone who like really resents the work that he did on the Star Wars prequels, it was interesting to see where he really excels as a storyteller, based on having another person who is writing the final product working with him, and how Lucas actually did stimulate the creative process there. Yeah. But he himself, when left to his own devices, sucks ass. So there's
nobody to rein him in. He's just
lots of cool behind the scenes stories that I'm pretty sure have never been told before. Ideally, this will be out by the time you're hearing the show, but if it's not, it's coming soon, goddammit.
All right.
If it's not, you can send all of your hate mail to epicpodcast@gmail.com.
Well, Cat Blackard, we'd love to thank you for coming down to A Geek Easy and being our guest on the podcast this month.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having
I have,
me.
Before we leave, can I have a raise?
What kind of raise? I'll give you a raise.
From $0 to $1?
That was innuendo.
You guys get a monthly stipend thanks to our fan base. I've got to thank the fans, because being able to pay even that modest amount to our shows on the network is something that most networks aren't able to do at all. So, sure. I'm
hooray!
Very grateful to fans.
We're saving up for new microphones.
Well, thank you, sir. Thank you so very much. A round of applause for our host, our not our host, our boss, our benefactor, the head cheese, the cheese head.
What is wrong with
you? I don't know. I'm on morphine.
In answer to your first question, I'll go with Spruce. I don't know much about trees, but it's a nice name.
Oh,
Spruce.
Fair enough.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Cat Blackard.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Thank you. Once again, we would like to thank our guest, Kat Blackard, for being with us on the program this month.
Hooray!
If you would like to hear more of the many shows that he was discussing, please visit nerdyshow.com.
And I think that's it. I think let's get the hell out of here.
I think that's it. This is the part where we would normally plug our upcoming appearances, but...
I got nothing.
Well, it's late December when this is airing, and I don't think that neither of us really have booked anything that far ahead because we're both terrible at being professional entertainers.
After...
This is also the dormant season. The first couple months of every year is when I theoretically don't play shows, don't travel, and I stay home and I write new rap songs in hopes of preparing a release for later in the year. That's what it is theoretically,
right.
But what it actually is, it means that I sit at home and just get really high and fat, and that's it.
Okay.
And
yeah,
so
I top load November and December with so many gigs that after Christmas, you know, January, February, I do nothing on purpose.
Yeah.
So
I make up things that I'm doing when you ask me to do things. So I'm busy, man. I'm swamped with this new record I'm writing.
No, I
and
know.
And I'm actually at home.
No, I know for a fact that you're lying
X-Files.
To me. Oh, no, I know. I get it. No, I understand that when I'm asking you to go hang out and see a movie or eat a pizza that you're basically don't want to do that, so...
But when this airs, we will both... I will be a couple weeks into afterglow of J.J. Abrams' Force Awakens. So just know that when you're hearing these words, that I am still cooing like a happy baby somewhere in Astoria, Queens.
You know, it might suck.
That's true. It might.
It might actually be a horrible movie.
I'm not betting on that.
All right.
You cannot take hope away from me, Lugo.
I've been burned 3 times before, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, but you weren't that invested, and I still like those shitty movies.
Star Trek's better. This has been the Epic Podcast, episode 38. I have been your host, Nelson Lugo.
I have been your other host, Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Be safe, internets.
Bye.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you for listening to the Epic Podcast. We'd love to listen to you, too. So send us your feedback, questions, love mail, hate mail, recipes, and fan fiction to epicpodcast@gmail.com. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review us on iTunes or like and follow us on SoundCloud. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and more, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show and the Epic Podcast on all of your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
All right, are we done? What else we got to do?
Well, this is going to be airing at the end of December, so I'm assuming you don't have anything that you can plug in.
No, I'm basically
in January.
I fantasize about having a boring week at this point in my life.
Terrific. Wait, yeah. So I'll bring us back from the interview, and then we'll say something stupid, and we'll wrap up this episode. What do you say about that?
Let's do it.